The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Deer populations are growing in suburban and urban areas. They now graze on our ornamental landscapes. We'll share the plants that are most resistant to deer foraging in our first segment.
In our second segment, hummingbirds are the brightest thing in a garden next to flowers. Attracting these flying jewels is easy and rewarding. We've got some suggestions for you.
It's a perennial party.
Yes, it is.
We're going to highlight all of the extraordinary perennial plants blooming and available right now in our third segment.
We always talk about pollinator and butterfly gardens in terms of flowers. There is a new line of plants that is baby food for butterfly caterpillars. Caterpillar candy. We'll tell you all about it in our fourth segment.
Finally, in our What's Bugging You segment, spider mites are an army waiting to suck the life out of your evergreens. Julio and I will go for a deep dive on how to get them off your landscape plants.
So stay tuned, and we'll be back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
Green Acres Nursery and Garden Center, West County Line Road, Colmar, Pennsylvania. Herbin's Garden Center, Chestnut Street, Emmis, Pennsylvania. Laurel Oak Garden Center, Thompson Mill Road, Marlton, New Jersey. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, there is a 150-pound pest that can devour a flower garden in one night. The following plants can grow without the fear of deer. It's a new line for us. You know, at my daughter's house yesterday.
Right.
Neighbor across the street has very, looks like topiary arborvitae.
Oh, he does.
Now, they have, it is, let's see, emerald green arborvitae, which the deer will eat.
They love that.
So it's like from the bottom to the like the 6 foot spot. yeah, big puff of growth on the top. And the problem is that they planted emerald green arborvitae. It's deer food.
Deer food, yeah.
Where green giants, they will not eat.
How about that?
They will not eat. So first of all, if you want to hide from your neighbor, whatever your reasons, that you use green giant for a hedge, and that you'll be fine. And that also the American pillar will be fine,
we'll
too.
Will be fine, too. Yeah, that's a good
fine
one.
Too. In Pittman, New Jersey, Julio?
Yes.
Do you have a deer issue?
Yes. A matter of fact.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the other day I was talking to my neighbor,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden I see these two deer coming down the road, flying by. They go to the stop street, make a right, you know, where Woodbury Road is. That's a
main
highway.
Did they signal?
No, not quite. It took a fast turn, let me tell you.
Yeah?
I don't know what happened. I don't know where they came from. You know, 'cause
you live near a school, right?
Yeah, right near the school, but there's nothing there for woods there. They took all that away.
Really?
Yeah.
Golf courses.
Oh, yeah.
Golf courses. She lives actually within a mile of a cemetery.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, so those deer at night are coming. And
That's where they're coming from.
So,
hey, remember the time when we had it in our garden center?
That's right.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. They came through and ran into the glass doors.
Glass door.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just goes to show you that. You know,
amazing.
You hear about deer is an issue, and that you're starting to hear like how bears, like black bears, are an issue.
I know.
Anyway, but deer are just can be destructive to a lot, like hostas. Anybody that lives in a deer prone area, hostas. Also, daylilies. Daylilies are more deer food.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have is a list that was compiled, and you can get it online easy enough and find it from Rutgers University. And if you just do search deer resistant plants and put rutgers.edu, it'll come up. And you can also do a parse it out and just put in if you want just perennials, or you want to have shrubs, or you want to have annuals. And you can break it down by the type of plant. Now, I found that to be invaluable because there are certain plants that you can sub. Like, for instance, you'll find regular taxus are deer food, but yet cephalotaxus, which look very similar, the deer won't eat. On your list, what do you have as far as, and again, it's seldom touched, and there's with this one, it's rarely damaged, seldom severely damaged. And then we're not even going to mention things that are occasionally severely damaged or frequently damaged.
Yeah, I love the way they did that.
Yeah, and that where we're going to just talk about basically rarely damaged or seldom severely damaged. So what's the first thing that you have on your list, Will?
Well, the first one's called Angel's Trumpet, and that's an annual, by the way.
Yeah, that's that's a hallucinogenic.
Oh, is it?
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, that it grows wild in Florida.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, wow. And evidently there were some reports of some Floridians partaking.
Is that what they mean?
Anyway, but it's that is a tropical, big uh-huh. flower, big weird kind of flower, but it's, again, is a great pollinator for different types of, even bats enjoy that. So something to think about. But as far as shrubs go, you know, almost at the top of the list are Alberta spruce.
Yes.
Alberta spruce, a frequently used shrub for the landscape. Feather reed grass, Calamagrosta. That is, again, right up there, rarely damaged. Forget-me-nots, fountain grass, Penicetum.
Yeah.
So instead of going with your daylilies, you can go with some of the Penicetum. Like even some of the annuals, like the Penicetum rubrum grass,
yeah, that'd be nice.
That would more than likely work just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
What else you got, Julio?
We got holly fern.
Okay. What's a holly fern?
It is a fern.
Well, you're right on it today.
Yes.
You're right on it. You keep up with that. All right.
Oh, it looks like it has a holly kind of a look to it, you know, the holly, the way the holly
really. Heath and heather.
Heath and heather, yeah.
Okay, lower growing. Yeah. It sometimes can be tricky to grow just if you overwater it. Does not like that. Irises,
yeah.
You know, so you can plant flowering, you know, most of it's a flowering root, flowering bulb. There is also Japanese plum. That's a cephalotax, as we spoke about. Mm-hmm. Charis, miscanthus. A lot of the grasses are going to be just fine when you're putting them out there. Potentilla, flowering shrub.
Lavender? Yeah.
Good one, good one. And lamb's ear, which
lamb's
is
ear, yeah.
anything that's got like a fuzzy.
Fuzzy, yeah, I don't like that.
They don't like to they get that and their mouth parts will feel that and they'll just say, oh, this is something that just doesn't feel right. And hellebores. Hellebores are,
yeah.
So
that's
early flowering, hellebores are good.
Yeah.
Again, that's Lenten rose, a common name. There is a large enough selection of plant material where please don't give up. Ground covers, Pachysandra will be a great one because it respects its borders and again that they're not gonna mind, that deer aren't gonna bother it, so you'll do fine. Trees like river birch, they're fine. A lot of these are native plants, so the deer kind of just look past them and don't pay much attention. As far as annuals go, snapdragons, definitely. Cleome, which again, that has actually a little thorn as it gets older.
It does, yeah.
And that's something that they'll stay away from. Yeah. And a lot of these plants, if they're interplanted, that they will protect some of the varieties that they will eat. Right. So just keep that in mind.
Now, Len, you know, a Centerton nursery has on their tags.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, the deer on there with a little slash on it. So you can go on that tag and go, oh, yeah, I can buy that.
You know, Monrovia had the same thing.
Yeah.
But they would make sure that people knew that they were deer-resistant plants.
Right. So, you know, look at your tags when you're buying your plants.
Yeah. Many of the junipers are also deer-resistant. So it's when you get to some of the softer varieties that they'll start chewing on. And honestly, if deer are hungry enough— if there is a lack of food source that they're going to forage and give it a try, they'll take a bite and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
But I think that you're okay with even things like bee balm, which, again, soft, but it does have a little fuzz to that leaf, that perennial.
Yeah. I wonder if they don't like to smell that, too.
Probably. That smell might bother them. Mm-hmm. It might bother them. Yeah. But when it comes down to it, you really have to be using a repellent.
Yeah.
The repellents are really simple. They're they're all organic, and it's mostly types of oils where, you know, they'll have garlic oil, and we laugh about it because it actually smells like something, tastes like something you put on your salad. Not that we're recommending that, okay? Please read the instructions.
That's right. We don't want you to.
If you have complaints, see Julio Zamora.
That's right. I'm right here
Bloomers
for you,
in the garden. But again, we're... if you go and you're putting that down, and I go back to that video we watched of Dr. Armitage, where he just left it.
That's right.
He didn't. The label was faded. Yep. Everything was faded. And he's talking about, well, this perennial and that perennial. And all of a sudden, he picks up this ancient bottle of deer repellent and just starts squirting it around.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And that, don't put it in your shed. Don't put it in your garage. Yeah, hide it behind a plant where you're going to walk. Yeah. And therefore, every time you walk out there, it's right there. So just spray it around.
How easy is that?
And granulars work okay, but what happens is we get a false sense of security with granules that it's going to last for a long time. So a combination, if you have a severe issue with deer, get that listing of plants. Again, it's online, and it's put out by Rutgers University. And just go deer search with deer-resistant plants and rutgers.edu. It will pop up. And that's the best one that I've found, and I'm talking 2 or 3 years now, that I keep going back to the same one.
Same one. Yeah.
And the other thing is make sure that you're using repellents, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to modify the deer's behavior so they stay the heck out of
your
property.
Right.
And that's what you need to do. Anything to add, Julio?
No, I think we got that pest out of here.
All right, get those deer out of here.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, Len, you know, hummingbirds are going to be moving around our gardens pretty soon. You know, they are now.
Yeah, they're around.
They're there now, aren't they?
They're around. I haven't seen one yet, though.
I haven't seen one either.
Yeah, I unfortunately have not put my feeders out, and I need to do that.
Yeah, you
it's
need
just
to get
another
that.
Thing
yeah.
I need to do.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, first of all, the migration part of it, which is really interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, a hummingbird weighs less than a nickel.
That's it.
Well, so, well, I mean,
they're
think
they weigh
about
more.
That.
They weigh
less than a nickel.
Yeah, amazing.
Anyway, so
wow,
I'm a hummingbird.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm a hummingbird.
You're a
just
big
flew
one,
in. Just flew in from South America, and boy, are my arms tired. So, what happens is that hummingbirds will overwinter in South America mostly. It's a 20-hour nonstop flight, 500 miles.
Oof.
There are so many wives tale that you hear, like, for instance, that they ride on the backs of other birds. What they do is they hook on and they just, like, you know, are in coach.
Take it easy.
You know, they lay back. My seat right. doesn't recline.
Oh, boy.
But not true.
No.
Not true.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
They make that flight. This thing that weighs a nickel has enough energy sure. to make it 500 miles, one shot. They
oh
don't
my.
Stop.
They don't
There's
stop
nowhere. Like, they don't find a ship to sit on.
Yeah, or water or
and
eat or anything.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. And that they, again, are gearing up for that flight. And, you know, one thing people think, like, this is the fall. It's like, oh, if I keep feeding my hummingbirds, you know, they're going to stay around here and freeze into hummingbird sickles. But it's not true.
No.
Just like in plants and other animals and other things, it's the sunlight that determines the amount of sunlight that said, oh,
Time's up. I guess they use sundials, but that is time for them to leave. Yeah. And they go back, and they go back to Central America. It is amazing to me because the eggs are laid here in New Jersey and from New Jersey to Canada, you know, all along the entire eastern seaboard. Now, we only have really one hummingbird. Out west, there's more. But that, you know, I'm a hummingbird. I just hatched.
Okay.
How the heck do I know that I'm supposed to fly 500 miles over this body of water and end up, you know,
in the same spot?
You know, I'm a snowbird and somewhere in Mexico. That's
pretty amazing. You know, DNA, is it?
I think it's faith.
Yeah, I think so too. It reminds me of the monarch.
It does. Well, yeah. It is. It's just like the monarch where in that in Mexico where they where they overwinter, the super monarch.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is interesting. What do they call it? Intelligence design. That's where it is. All right. Julio, tell me if you have a desire to create a garden for butterflies, what plants, what would be your first plant that you would put in?
I'll tell you what.
Tell me.
Well, I would probably, for the hummingbird, I'm thinking of the Crocosmia.
Yeah. You know, first Lucifer. One. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Crocosmia, you know, Crocosmia, there's a few different varieties. Lucifer, we're just talking about intelligent design. And I suggest you don't go to your garden center and say, I'm looking for Lucifer.
Who's that?
It is a bright red
Crocosmia,
and it just is a magnet for both butterflies and for hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. They'll feed off of that. We were talking with those of you that may be seeing this on YouTube. We have Erica, who is a perspective employee of Bloomers. This is actually part of her interview. We were talking about how she has cardinal flower that she put in.
Another one.
A great plant to attract hummingbirds. And there's some varieties of lobelia that are hardy and non-hardy. Get the hardy one because it just is a better flower, larger. You're going to have less issues with other predators. So just something to think about.
Fuchsia is another one they love.
You know, that's true. That's true.
That's a nice one.
The first hummingbird I ever saw in my entire life was on a fuchsia.
Was it?
That my family at their home used to put out a fuchsia every year their doorstep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's like, okay. Yeah. It's hard to tell where the nectar is on a fuchsia.
Yeah, I know. It is hard.
But it does attract
it
them.
It does, yeah.
Petunias?
Mm-hmm. Petunias, yeah. I've seen them on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you something. When was the first time you ever saw one?
Well, I just told you.
No, I mean, when you
when
were
a
young,
kid.
When was a kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I had one zoom right by me. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
For the first time, yeah. I said, what is that?
When was that?
Oh, it was probably in my teens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, what am I looking at here?
I had one that I have a screened in porch, and I had a feeder that was on the other side of the screened porch, and somehow it ended up inside my screened-in porch.
Oh, no.
So I had to catch it.
I
had to catch it and put it outside. It was the coolest experience having a hummingbird perched on my finger when I went to let it out. And it kind of like looked around and looked at me, and it decided, it was like, oh, I'm outside
now.
You
mean he wasn't scared of you coming after
him? Not that scared, no.
Oh, okay.
No. And the way that I caught it was pretty simple. It wasn't, it wasn't terrorizing the poor little hummingbird. I think I was more scared that beak was going to peck my eye out. But again, hummingbirds are not like Julio just said, the hummingbird will go and protect its territory. They can be pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Not only to other hummingbirds, like where
us,
you know, Not us. You're going to get people freaked out. The hummingbirds are coming. No, not us, but other birds.
Other birds, yeah.
Other birds, because they're actually protecting their
babies.
Their babies, that's right. Okay, how about hummingbird feeders? Do you put up a hummingbird feeder?
No, I don't.
Look at you.
I'm a naturalist.
You're a naturalist. Anyway.
Yeah.
I put up a hummingbird feeder that they do flock to it. The trick is not letting the sugar water ferment.
Okay.
Or else you have drunk flying hummingbirds all around. But I still use red hummingbird mix, the hummingbird nectar.
Yeah.
You can make your own.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. I mean, it's just, let me see here. It's just regular. Just regular sugar. It's not, there's nothing special about it. But I still like using the red because in my clear hummingbird feeder, I can see when it's going down. A clear one. I just Won't really can't. It. It's like, is it? And, you know, and then I have to find my glasses and figure out where everything is. But again, it's easy to do, and it's something that you do need to change it out every 3 days or so. Because again, it ferments in hot weather, and it does produce an alcohol that's not only, you know, we joke about them being drunk, but it's actually toxic. You want to do it every 2 to 3 days, and you want to clean it out. And it's important to clean all the parts. So those little mini brushes that you see, make sure to use them. And that you can do, you're always famous with using bleach.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you put a little bleach in there,
and
clean it out.
Yeah.
Then rinse it,
disinfect
and,
it.
And that will that'll be easy enough. Most of them are dishwasher safe now too.
Oh yeah, it's nice.
So you can make sure, just double check and make sure that it is dishwasher safe, and then go ahead and clean it.
Clean it up. Yeah.
If you go to your local garden center, they will have an entire collection.
That's right.
Of not only hummingbird feeders but also plant material. Everybody wants to attract hummingbirds. Everybody wants to attract butterflies, but that's another segment.
Yeah.
So, again, go to your local garden center, ask them about plants that will attract hummingbirds, and they will have a large selection. I guarantee it.
And grab your feeders, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, get your feeder and get your nectar. All right, we'll be back in the garden right after these messages.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide contains bifenthrin, which is a highly recommended product to control the spotted lanternfly. Available as both a ready-to-use and a concentrate, they are a water-based, low-odor, non-staining insecticide formulation. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide may be used indoors or outdoors. It provides up to 4 months residual control indoors and up to 6 weeks residual control outdoors. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide kills a wide variety of insects, including fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, roaches, ants, spiders, earwigs, crickets, and grasshoppers. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide may be used around the perimeter of the home, on lawns, trees, shrubs, flowers, and even vegetables. So, the next time you visit your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide and expect to have the best-looking plants and landscape in the neighborhood.
Neighbors Garden Center, Main Street, Hellertown, PA. Rhodes Garden, Delcab Pike, North Wales, Pennsylvania. Rourke Farm Supply, Elmer, New Jersey. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Celebrate good times. Come on. Let's celebrate.
There's a party going on right here, Julio. It's a perennial party.
Yes, it is.
Right now is the peak of perennial selection. If you have been waiting or wanting to put in a perennial garden, now is a good time to start. You know, you miss some of the early spring perennials, but still, it's like crossing where there are still some spring perennials left, but there's tons of the other ones. So there's definitely a perennial party going on.
Welcome to the party.
Anyway, thank you, Brett.
Yep.
Julio, you are working out there in the perennial section at Bloomers.
I am. Ooh,
could it be a better time for coneflower?
No. It's amazing.
I still have a hard time just saying coneflower because I want to say purple coneflower.
I know.
Like, we have orange purple coneflower.
Yeah, we do.
So, coneflowers are just amazing. The Sunseeker series, say that 10 times fast, there are great colors of, it's salmon, pink, white. They're usually doubles. And Erica, we were discussing today that, again, that is our potential hire that's in here today with us in studio. It's not a native, but it's a native R, right?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. A native R because it's grown to be a better, superior plant than the actual original plant. So you won't get rust. You won't get flowers that fall over. You won't have to deadhead as much. It'll be more compact, and you'll get more flowers on a plant. Well, the double flower, it barely looks like a cone flower because it's not that big, like half egg shape in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how they've come up with these flowers that, you know, they come up, and I was just telling Erica, you know, the lemon one, it comes out really bright yellow, and all of a sudden, it when it opens up, the petals, they're lighter color. It's just amazing.
It goes does it go gold and then to bright yellow?
Yeah, bright yellow. It's a beautiful thing.
Now, what's happened is that there is a new, I don't know, I guess it's every plant, especially with the Echinaceas, that they have a series. Mm-hmm. So it's the, you know, like we just said, Sunseeker series. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's the Sombrero series. Yeah. There's the Kismet series. All beautiful, all good. But that's the seed and the breeding houses where what they'll do is that they'll catch on to one variety and then they're doing all the genetics. And they'll name their plant so that people become customers and as well as myself, they become loyal
to that brand.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, Julio, what is your favorite? Like right now, we just got a delivery of 100 or so. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite series?
Oh, my goodness. You know, you got to come down to Bloomers and see our collection. I mean, it's amazing what it looks like. I took a picture of it. I was so enthralled by it. Anyway, my favorite one is between the new one that just came out. It's like that, like you were saying, salmon.
Was it the Sunseeker?
Sunseeker. Goodness. And also, I love the orange. I mean, orange is really.
And that's usually, there's both Kismet. Again, that they have orange. It's orange, red, raspberry, gold, and white. And the breeder says that it has more first-year blooms, extended color display, and enhanced overwintering survivability.
Yeah, I mean,
I went and planted 3 gallons. So we're talking big, regular old Magnus. So the native, or close to it anyway. And I planted them along a fence. It's perfect spot.
Beautiful.
They didn't come back.
No.
And that's with some of the newer varieties, you're getting more survivability. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what they're doing the breeding for.
To extend that.
Yeah, that those Magnus were gigantic when I put them in. I was sure that their big root system in that great big 3-gallon pot would
come
back.
No.
And it didn't. So you know, it's interesting that the Kismet series where they say, you know, it's enhanced wintering survivability. The Sunseekers, I'm with you. That's probably I have never seen them before. I think it's new this year. It's new for me. But again, we're getting bogged down because they just are so impressive. They are really impressive. So
yeah, you've got to see them in person.
Yeah, come to Bloomers, go to your local garden center, and you know, you'll be amazed that you know, it's not purple coneflower anymore. Yeah. Hardy hibiscus.
My goodness.
Killer.
It is.
The newer varieties, I'll tell you what, I hate giving them credit because they drive me crazy, but Proven Winners, they have done a great job with the breeding on their hardy hibiscus. Red foliage, striped foliage, where there's a little bit of pink in it.
Yeah,
giant red or pink flowers with an eye.
They get bigger and bigger every year.
Yep. And here we go. We talked about Crocosmia in our last segment.
Uh-huh.
There's newer varieties where, again, that you're going to attract hummingbirds with them, but it's just also just a beautiful summer flowering plant. And again, Lucifer is the one that's known mostly because that's the classic red.
Yeah.
But now there's orange and Taipan, one orange pico, and then Taipan is like a bright golden yellow.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You don't usually see them. And the foliage is improved, where sometimes the foliage got a little bit of rust on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that now that they're breeding that out of it so that it stays more of an ornamental plant. Anemones, are they blooming yet?
Not yet.
But they're green, but they're
budded.
They're budded. Red Riding Hood, new variety, vigorous fall bloomer. That says fall, but what it does is it starts later in the summer and goes into fall. Compacted, not real big, not real tall. There's also Cinderella, which is another nice one. It's a lavender pink, single flowers, and the foliage has a nice little, I don't know, how would you say, a serration on it?
Serration, yeah.
Yeah, the foliage is good. So it's a pretty plant it's not even bloom.
That's right.
What is your other favorite, Julio?
I love Coreopsis.
Yeah.
Even though you have trim it a little bit and, you know, or deadhead it.
Which
I
one?
Still,
they look so different, but they're all named Coreopsis.
I know. I like the Moonbeam.
Moonbeam?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Wow, that's like the original.
Yeah.
That's like the original. Real nice ferny foliage. So it's all about when you do a landscape, it's color, texture, and form, and that will give you that light, lacy texture.
Lacy look.
Galardias, Delphinium, my favorite.
Yeah, it's
Delphinium.
Your one.
I like Delphinium, but that's because I'm partial to blue.
Yeah,
there's so much out there now.
Oh, there is, and the blue and the Delphinium. You brought one in. It's a little shorter.
Yeah, it's a dwarf variety.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a blue that is.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Go to your local garden center right now.
Get out there.
It is a great time. You'll enjoy just, even if you don't buy anything. Well, I don't. Being a retailer, I don't like hearing that.
That's right.
But still. You know, it is like a, you know, a visit to your local garden or arboretum. Mm-hmm. The perennials that are available right now just are stunning.
They're just amazing. Huh?
Stunning. Yeah. All right, we're leaving the party and we're going to go to commercial break. And after that, we're going to talk about butterfly candy, caterpillar candy.
Yeah.
We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com. And we'll see you in the garden.
Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider, or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB, and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. You know, well, Len, you know, butterflies are looking for a place to start their next generation. And I can tell you that last week I saw a monarch for the first time in our store, and he was looking for a place to eat, you know, and scur and look around for plants to.
Well, it's a good thing then we have the new caterpillar candy.
Yeah, just in time.
Plant line.
Right.
It is a genius idea. I mean, normally it's like we don't want to sell plants that are going to be eaten, that are meant to be eaten, but now we do.
Yeah, we do.
It's a whole different thing. And most of the time, you know, everybody's looking, it's like, oh, I want to have a butterfly garden. I want to have the butterflies come and, like, eat the nectar.
Sure.
Without even thinking, you know, what about the rest?
Yeah.
Shirley at Bloomers Home and Garden, she has a half barrel that's filled with things like parsley and dill and that, all these things to attract butterflies. And we're centered in nursery, one of our favorite nurseries, has taken the concept to attract specific butterflies that will lay their eggs on these plants, and the caterpillars will feed before they go and change into a chrysalid, and before they go and they'll become butterflies. So
what a great thing, huh?
I tell you, they have parsley, they have dill, they have snapdragons. And the greatest thing is their tag. If you look at their tag, it describes, for instance, on milkweed that they have, it will say that it attracts a monarch butterfly. It will say, for instance, we have parsley here.
Parsley right here.
What does that say right on there? What butterfly does it attract?
All right, what does it say here? If I can read this thing, attracts a black swallowtail.
So black swallowtail.
Black swallowtail.
Black swallowtails that have the blue on the edge of it. And then there's also tiger swallowtails, which are the yellow. Each one will attract a certain type of butterfly. Some you can mix up and attract all the same. But you can also plant them together outside in a container, wherever you want. And that, you know, you also don't have to worry about spraying anything, because you want the butterflies or the caterpillars to eat them.
Yeah.
You know, you said you saw your first monarch.
Yes, I did.
We had, and one of Erica's specialties working in water garden, on our water garden plants we had for sale, it was milkweed. And Carl found caterpillars, all monarch caterpillars, all over the milkweed that was for sale. Very happy about that. But anyway, we relocated them into a spot where they could be safe. But again, all eating the milkweed. And I just think it's such a great idea. I mean, if you have kids, oh my gosh.
Butterfly garden.
Nobody knows. Like, kids will look at a butterfly and say, how pretty. But I don't know if they get the science in school that explains all that anymore, like maybe it used to be.
Right.
You can tell I'm getting old.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's like, I'm back. I remember when. back in the 80s.
Yeah, way back.
Anyway, but again, plants, if you see butterflies, you know that they're trying to find a spot to form the next generation. And our show that we did a couple of weeks ago on the Monarch, where, you know, you have this different generations, you need to give them something to eat and you need to help them to become that pollinator that you want flying on your coneflower, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're talking not just about one plant. You got to get the whole.
Yeah, if you mix it up, you'd be amazed on all of a sudden you've got all these butterflies all over these plants, and some of them don't have any flowers.
Yeah,
you know, why is there a swallowtail butterfly on my parsley that's all green?
Yeah.
So, and what it's doing, it's looking to start, it's going to lay some eggs.
Right.
So, I don't know, great idea, and it's caterpillar candy, and they basically are host plants for butterflies. Caterpillars, so they're babies. It's baby food.
Baby food, yeah.
It's baby food for butterflies, caterpillars. So it's a great idea. Look for it at your local garden center. Again, we have it at Bloomers, and they're not expensive. I mean, we think we have 6 plants for $30, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a great idea. Get your kids involved. It's a lot of fun. Anything to add, Julio?
I was looking at it the other morning, and I was thinking about putting a butterfly garden in my house somewhere.
You should.
Yeah, it's really
you
awesome.
You should.
Yeah.
You should do it in the front.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a lot of sun in the
front.
I
got a lot of sun there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Good idea. All right, got to take a break. Right. We'll be right back, right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger,
more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma. A natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Come back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. Brett, our equipment is falling apart. You know, where are those engineers? They need to fix this mic. Anyway, hey, so this week for What's Bugging You segment, there they are.
Oh,
get off me.
Oh my goodness.
I spit up by mosquitoes the other day. Spider mites do major damage to evergreens, especially plants like Alberta spruce. But you can fight back, right?
Yeah, we can always fight back.
All right. Spider mites, like almost always, somebody has an issue where it's an evergreen and it's turning yellow or it's starting to drop needles. You know, you can tell, like, they get small webs.
Yeah.
Small webs. If you see small webs.
Like a spider web, like.
And you'll get patches of, like, you know, dead areas. So just don't make the mistake a lot of people do, where they spread it apart and they look, it's all dead inside. Ladies and gentlemen, evergreens on the inside discard their needles that are not producing food and keep their growth on the outside edges. So if you look in most evergreens, like an Alberta spruce, if you look in an Alberta spruce, it's all dead inside because there's no sunlight getting to that portion, so there's no need for it to try to sustain needles, which are basically modified leaves. Mm-hmm. Come on, Julio, what do you got? Spider mites.
You know, they're not insects. Did you know that?
They're not.
No.
Come on.
They're related to ticks and spiders. I didn't know that.
Wow. Well, you must have because you just told me. And they're worse in hot weather.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, they're bad in hot weather. Yeah. And I certainly hate that part because what happens is that they breed so much that there can be 20 generations in a year.
Wow.
And what does that say to you, Julio?
So they're prolific.
So just think about this. Okay. So a female spider mite can live about 30 days and produces 100 eggs.
Wow.
So if you've got that going on, you have to spray more than once.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't think that you can get away with it once, the best thing that you can do is spray a contact spray and use a systemic in the soil, like a drench, like imidacloprid. Look, everybody, we know a neonicotinoid, but that's because boneheads have been using it the wrong way. They're using it as a spray. It's not a spray. It is a drench. And you want to spray at night so all the bees and pollinators are away. Worst pitcher in the world was a guy spraying a full-size tree. And he's spraying it with imidacloprid. And that it's just, here's the bad part. On the other side of a tree was a beehive.
Oh, no.
It's like, you idiot.
No.
People are the problem.
Yeah.
People are the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, the majority of evergreens, needled evergreens, like Alberta spruce, like bird's nest spruce, mostly a lot of spruces and junipers and things are attacked by spider mites. As a preventative, you can use a systemic insecticide, whether it's a granular, whether it's a drench, whether you're spraying with, say, a acephate. That's a systemic spray that you'll see. But you can also use, Julio, brought in what? Did you bring an 8?
I brought in 8.
For the studio?
Yep, I did.
All right, spray. So 8 is that it is a thrin, okay? Julio, explain a thrin.
A thrin is come from.
Come on, do it for me, Hul.
Okay, it's a comes from chrysanthemums, and they're Boy, I can't remember.
Boy, have I seen. You know, you are getting older.
I am.
You are getting older. Synthetic. It's a pyrethroid. What's it called? That's right. It's a pyrethroid. Yeah, so it is a synthetic pyrethrin, so that it's based off of the science, from a permethrin, which is from the chrysanthemum flower. But the issue with that is that if you try to use the organic version, you get, you know, you get a like one shot deal. You have to hit that insect. And it is very, very dangerous for bees, just to let you know that everybody thinks, oh, it's organic, so it's safe. But the issue is sunlight degrades its strength, and it actually doesn't work after, I think you get maybe a day out of it. And the sun just breaks it down, and it no longer is effective. But man-made pyrethrins all have the thrin on the back of it, like delta methrin, okay, resmethrin. There's all thrins that are out there, and we call them thrins because we know that they're in synthetic and they are not organic, but they're based off of the chemistry that's copied off of a organic. Do you understand that? No wonder why you couldn't remember. Anyway, Captain Jack's is another one. Captain Jack's, again, is spinosad. So if you have an issue, spinosad, 8, all are contacts, but you want to use a systemic, because a systemic will also make the plant poisonous to that insect. So that once you have multiple generations, you have adults, you have nymphs, you have eggs, you get rid of all the generations. I would suggest doing a spray about 7 to 10 days apart and doing at least 3. So that way your plant is clean from any spider mites. If you think you're going to get away with one, you're not. So make sure you're doing at least 3 applications, 7 to 10 days apart.
Beautiful.
And that's it.
That's it.
All right. Back to break. We'll be here to finish up the show right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
I'll tell you what.
Man, lots of things going on in the garden.
That is.
If you have questions, please call the hotline. Mm-hmm. Okay, 609-685-1880. We want to talk to you.
Yes,
we'll
we
answer
do.
Your questions. And if you go on the air, we'll get you a t-shirt.
There you go.
All right. We're going to see you next week at this same time right here in the garden.
See you in the garden.